Hello, everyone, and thank you for listening to this podcast on the National Federation of the Blind's Performing Arts Division. My name is Lisa Hellman, Youth Services Librarian for Wolfner Talking Book and Braille Library. Joining me today is Caitlin McIntyre, President of the NFB Performing Arts Division. Caitlin, before we go into what the NFB Performing Arts Division is, could you tell us a bit about yourself and how you became involved with this division?
Absolutely. Yes. It's so great to be here. And thank you so much for having me, Lisa. It's wonderful to talk with you all. Again, my name is Caitlin McIntyre, and I absolutely love everything performing arts. I have been involved since I was very young in music specifically, as well as dance and acting. I received a Bachelor of Music in Vocal Performance and a Master of Music in Vocal Performance, which means that I studied opera and classical music, oratorio, art song, as well as musical theater, jazz, all kinds of musical styles. So I love performing in all of those genres. Obviously, that's a little difficult right now during the pandemic, but I always love being able to share music whenever possible. It's such an amazing language that transcends language barriers. It's the language, that can speak to anyone. It's so powerful and so moving. And so I love music as well as dance. I did clogging when I was growing up for many years, which is sort of like Irish dance and tap. I'm also a competitive ballroom dancer. It's actually how I met my husband, which is a fun story. And I've done some acting, motivational speaking. And right now I do a lot of music teaching. So since performing is not happening as much at the moment, I've done a lot of teaching over Zoom in voice, piano, guitar, and music theory. And as far as being involved in the National Federation of the Blind Performing Arts Division, I got involved in 2014. The National Federation of the Blind offers scholarships to blind college students. And if any of you are high school seniors or in college, I highly encourage you to check out these scholarships. They're a wonderful way to get some money as well as become involved with a really influential and powerful organization for blind people in the United States. And so I was blessed to be a recipient of one of those scholarships in 2014, which brought me to my first NFB National Convention, which I loved. I met, just hundreds of other people, like-minded people, people who are in similar situations, different situations, blind lawyers, music teachers, engineers, all kinds of people from different backgrounds. And it was just so motivating and encouraging to meet people from all over and know that we were working toward common goals and just sharing ideas. And it was a fabulous experience. So I went to my first division meeting for the Performing Arts Division and just got hooked. I ran for the board. I became a board member and shortly thereafter became vice president. And this year I was elected as the president for a 2-year term. So I'm just delighted to be serving in that role and love being a part of this division.
So what is the history and mission of the NFB Performing Arts Division?
Yeah, so the National Federation of the Blind has been around since 1940 when it was established. And the NFB carries out its work through affiliates, chapters, and divisions. So affiliates are state affiliates, which means that there's a National Federation of the Blind of Missouri, for example. And that is a state affiliate that is specifically in Missouri to talk about issues pertaining to people in Missouri. And then there are local chapters that would, maybe like the Columbia chapter or things like that, that would be a more at a local level. So you can actually locally meet people near you. And then there are divisions, which are centered around employment topics or life stages, for example. So there might be, there's a blind lawyers division, people who are interested in law. There is a blind merchants division, people who are part of different merchant activities, being vendors and things like that. And then there are life stages like students. There's a National Association of Blind Students, which is a fabulous division for students of all ages, as well as there's the Blind Seniors Division. So you can see how we have these different divisions. So the Performing Arts Division is centered around people who are interested in the performing arts, whether that be for a career or just even as a hobby. And we've been around for about 20 years, since around 2000. And we really want to be a place for blind and visually impaired performers of all levels to connect. We want to be a place where you can network and connect with other people, share ideas, strategies, so you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. So you know that there are other people out there who have been in such similar situations. We want to provide resources about blindness and the performing arts. So whether that is our recent podcast called Scene Change that we just started, where we're talking with people from various performing arts about various issues related to blindness and performing arts, or whether that is, we're working on some resources on our website to point people to scholarships or summer camps or things like that that pertain again to blindness and performing arts. And we also want to be an agent for advocacy to encourage full participation of, for example, blind people in the entertainment industry. There is so much of a lack of equality and opportunity for blind people in the field of acting, for example. And so we want to advocate for that, for full inclusion and integration of blind people in that industry. So those are kind of some of the points of our mission. And we just want to be available for people of all backgrounds to come and learn from one another. And we can always achieve more together than we can apart.
So now that we know a bit about the Performing Arts Division, who can join the NFB Performing Arts Division?
We welcome anyone and everyone in our division. So again, whether you are looking to pursue the performing arts as a career, we would love to have you. If you're just maybe you love singing in your shower and you think, you know, I'd like to talk to some other fellow singer hobbyists, then we'd love to have you too. If you're a high school student, a middle school student, you're welcome. If you are, you know, a grandmother, you're welcome too. We really welcome anyone and everyone. You don't have to be pursuing arts, performing arts as a career. We welcome people who are interested in all kinds of performing arts. So whether you are interested in music, singing, violin, piano, whatever that may be, if you are a dancer, maybe you've done tap or ballet or salsa or swing dancing, maybe you've done some acting or voiceover work, or you're a comedian or a juggler or a magician. You know, we welcome anyone and everyone. We also love having our back end people. We know, you know, performing on stage, you can't do it without the people back of house who are doing things like sound engineering or set design or screenwriting, all those great things. We would welcome anyone in really any field related to performing arts. We're very welcoming. We don't want to be restrictive. So, and if you're not sure if this is for you, just check us out. Come try, join us on a membership call or visit our website and see if you think this might be a good fit.
So what do you do to connect with your members?
Yeah, we do a variety of things. So because we are spread out all over the country, and we actually do occasionally have people internationally join us, they're always welcome to, it can be difficult to connect throughout the year. So we have a few ways that we like to connect. One is through some membership phone calls, conference calls. We usually center these around different topics. For example, in September, we had one with Marilee Talkington, who started the Access Acting Academy, which is pretty much the first acting academy for people who are blind and visually impaired, specifically tailored to us. And she came and presented about that and answered questions. This month, we're having one about blind people in communities of faith, how you can be involved in church music or leading worship or things like that. We're hoping to do one on GarageBand and how you can, effectively use GarageBand to edit music as a blind person. So we love doing these calls. Some of them are more, hearing from different speakers and asking questions. Some of them are more workshop style. When the pandemic hit, we had a lot of workshops in April and May that were more, you know, learning things. So we had I taught a salsa dancing workshop. We had a beatboxing workshop one week, which was a ton of fun. We did a Braille music workshop. We had an improv workshop where we all got together and did different improv games and learned about the art of improvisational acting. And so we try to do a cross section of both informational and really interactive learning workshops. And then we also have ways that you can connect with other members and ask questions. We have an email listserv, which I can give at the end of our show. It's nfbnet.org, and you find the Perform Talk listserv. So you can go on there. It's a great way to ask questions and say, you know, hey, how did you start learning guitar as a blind person? Or what accommodations, you know, should I be asking for at my dance call for a musical theater production or something like that? So we have that resource. We also started a Facebook group this year. If any of you are on Facebook, you're welcome to join that. It's National Federation of the Blind Performing Arts Division group. It is a long name, but if you search for that, it's a Facebook group. Again, another safe place to ask questions, to share ideas. That's a way we love to connect our members. And then we also try to do events throughout the year occasionally, but primarily during our national convention in the summer. Usually it's in July. And so the National Federation of the Blind's National Convention in 2021 will hopefully be in New Orleans, Louisiana. And we usually do a showcase of talent night, which is a competition. We have some dance workshops, have a business meeting. We'll have different panels about different topics, employment or, you know, dressing for success in the performing arts, things like that. So we usually do events. And then we do try to connect with, again, the NFB's state affiliates throughout the year and do events at their various conventions. So for example, I just taught some dance lessons for the Arizona State Convention in September. And in October, we got together at the California State Convention and had a performing arts meetup and talked about different ways to get involved in the performing arts. So we're doing different things throughout the year. You can find those on our various social media channels and our website and all that good stuff. And we're always open to suggestions as well. If you have an idea for an event or something that you'd like to see, we are open to it. And we want to hear from our members to make this division, you know, useful and enjoyable to all involved.
Have you ever partnered with other organizations like public libraries or any other public organization in regards to providing types of events?
Yeah, we have throughout the years, not as often, but we are always open to doing that. Absolutely. You can always talk to me. You can email us at nfbpad@gmail.com and let us know again if you have an idea and you think, hey, my library or my you know, community center is working on doing events maybe around this topic or things like that. Maybe it's about performing arts, maybe it's about blindness, whatever it may be. And we could certainly work on doing something like that. We love outreach. We love connecting with people from different organizations as well. So it's probably not as often, but we love doing that. Absolutely.
So how would you encourage a blind individual, especially teens, to participate in the performing arts, such as, you know, the acting, music, or dance?
Yeah. Well, there are so many ways. And again, it's, you know, things are a little tricky right now in our world where not as many things are in person. So that might require a little more creativity. But I will say that there are lots of ways to get involved, especially during, you know, middle school, high school. A lot of times through school, there are ways to get involved in performing arts. So you might be able to join your school's choir. That's a great way to meet other people who are interested in music as well. It's, you know, depending, there are often different levels of choirs. So if you're not sure if you're as comfortable on stage, you can sometimes join, you know, the less stressful choir. Sometimes there's, you know, more of a community choir aspect versus really the high level honors choir. If you're really into making amazing music and really high level performance, then, you know, you might want to audition for your honors choir, things like that. That's a great way to get involved. Also, if you're an instrumentalist, joining your school's orchestra or band can be a great way to try that out as well. For me, I did a lot of private lessons. I knew that voice was the instrument I mainly wanted to pursue. And so I did a lot of private lessons to really cultivate my technique early on and start developing good musicality. And so if that is something that you are interested in or is, you know, you're able to do or your family's able to do, then I recommend that as well. Give that a try out if you know that you're really interested in, you know, violin or piano or voice or whatever it may be, try some lessons and see if that is something you're interested in doing. That can be a wonderful way to experience performing arts. And then as far as less musical things, dance is another one that is a lot of fun. And that may be, you might have some dance in your school, or you might need to look outside maybe more into your community. I actually did my clogging through a 4-H group. And so you never know, you might have some different organizations in your community that are doing different types of dance classes. A lot of times community centers will do tap and ballet classes or things like that. Or if you are really into, you know, tap, jazz, ballet, there's a lot of companies, different theaters, different organizations that will provide those lessons for youth of different ages. So that's a great way to something to look into. And if you're interested in theater, again, sometimes your school might have plays or musicals that you can audition for. And then you might also look outside into community theater or youth theater. A lot of times there are theaters that are specifically for people 19 and under. You can audition for youth theater. Sometimes churches have a summer camp or a church theater, things like that. You can look into that as well. And, you know, bring, if you're worried about it, go with a friend, maybe ask around to see what people's experiences have been, even if they're not, blind related experiences, just asking other friends to see what experiences they've had at local theaters or local orchestras or music groups, can give you an idea if it's going to be a welcoming environment, if it's a really competitive environment or a really friendly environment, and whatever you're looking for, then you can kind of decide what you might be interested in trying and auditioning for and things like that. But there are lots of possibilities. And now with a lot of things online, you can even look outside of your local area. There might be people offering classes or offering virtual choirs and things like that, that you can really, the sky's the limit. You can really do all kinds of things. It's almost overwhelming because there's so much. So, you know, don't be worried, but just start small. Ask your school, ask your teachers, ask some friends and family to see what else they have gotten involved with. And hopefully that'll give you some ideas to start with.
You mentioned previously about accommodations. So what are some accommodations that one can ask for when taking acting classes or joining a choir or auditioning for musicals?
Yeah, great question. And the first thing I'll say is that everyone's accommodations might be different. So I'll list a few ideas here, but you should find the accommodations that work for you. And that might take some trial and error. I, you know, sometimes maybe thought I needed a script in large print. I can read a little bit of large print, and I often used to ask for large print scripts, and that's great if that works for you. Now I'm realizing that I'm a lot faster if I can get that in an audio file. So, in an electronic file, like a Word document, so that I can use JAWS or VoiceOver to, read that document to me, or maybe, you know, you could put that on a Braille display, things like that. So it might take a little trial and error to find your accommodations, and that's okay. That's good to explore, to figure out what you need and what makes you most successful as a performing artist. Some things that you can do is first of all, since I mentioned scripts, I think it's always a good idea to ask for the accommodation of getting any scripts or music ahead of time. So if you're going to be in a choir, if there's going to be a lot of music to learn, asking for that as soon as possible in whatever format you need that in is very helpful. So if you need that in large print, making sure that you can arrange that either the organization like the school or the church or the university is going to get that for you, or they're going to give you either files or regular printouts, and you're going to take that somewhere and get it enlarged. Whatever that is, getting that ahead of time will help ease stress, so you're not at the last minute wondering, oh no, I don't have my music and I need to get this done. Additionally, if it's a sight reading situation, I can't sight read music. Some people are really good at Braille music and they're able to sight read, and that is amazing. I'm not able to do that, especially if you're an instrumentalist and you're using even Braille music, something like that. If you're going to need your hands for your instrument, you can't be sight reading the Braille music if you're trying to play piano or trying to play violin. So asking for that ahead of time so that you can memorize it if you need to, so that you can at least be familiar with it if you need to. is an absolutely a good accommodation. And again, with scripts for acting, same thing. If there's going to be a cold read oftentimes, which means you go into an audition and they hand you a script and you have to just perform it right there. I am not a fast enough large print or braille reader to do that. And so I always ask for that ahead of time. And that's also a perfectly legitimate accommodation to ask, you know, either if they can send it to you ahead of time or allow you to maybe come an hour early so you can at least familiarize yourself. You might not memorize it, but at least you can familiarize yourself with the script so that you will be more confident in your presentation of it. That's a great accommodation to ask for. Something that's not really an accommodation, but just kind of a thing that I do often is, especially if it's maybe a dance class or, you know, maybe this is more of a class setting or an improv class or a music situation I've never really been to before, I might bring a friend along, bring a buddy. You know, it's less intimidating if you can bring someone along so that you're not the only one facing this new situation. That can be a blind friend, a sighted friend, it could be anyone. But going in with someone together gives you a little more confidence. It gives me a little more confidence. If I'm going to a new dance class, maybe I'm going to a cha-cha class and I haven't been with this instructor before. You know, it's nice to have someone I can maybe ask a few questions of just to make sure I'm on the right track. Now, I do always recommend if you are going to a class situation, especially speaking with the instructor ahead of time, that can take some courage. And I know that's not easy for everyone, but you know, as blind people, we do often have to advocate for ourselves. And so it's a good skill to learn if you can just, sometimes it might be emailing the instructor. Maybe you're going to be in this choir at school. And so you want to just shoot them an email and say, hey, I'm going to be in your choir. Just wanted to introduce myself. I'm blind. I'll need XYZ accommodations. And if you'd like to chat about this, you know, after class the first day, that would be great. Or whatever it is that you want to tell them and let them know. I do that a lot of times with dance classes. If I'm taking a new dance class, I will show up early and just talk to the instructor and say, hi, I'm Caitlin. I am excited to take your class. I'm blind. So if you can explain things as verbally as possible, that is really helpful. I might need to ask you some questions. If you want to, you know, make sure that my feet are positioned properly, please feel free to do so. I may also ask to feel your body, to feel your arm positioning, to feel where your shoulders are in relation, you know, to your hands, things like that. So just letting them know your needs up front is always really helpful. And then, yeah, similarly for an audition, for a musical theater audition, you know, if it's a dance call, if you're low vision, asking to be in the front of the lesson for learning the dance is helpful. Again, maybe asking to come early so that you can make sure you have enough time to learn. Maybe asking for an assistant in the choreography sessions so that, again, you can make sure everything is being relayed, all the information is being relayed to you properly. And just knowing what you need in terms of navigating stage. I mean, there are so many things. Yeah, there's so many things we could talk about, but navigating stage, you know, letting them know if you're comfortable with or without your cane or guide dog. You know, similarly, even with choir, if you're comfortable walking with your cane or your guide dog on stage, and you know your guide dog is going to be good with that, then you should have the right to bring your cane or guide dog on stage. I trusted a lot of my friends in my college choirs, for example, so I didn't feel like I needed to bring my cane on stage. I would just go sighted guide with someone and have my cane backstage for when I exited. But I know a lot of people who brought their canes and guide dogs on stage because that made them feel more empowered and more confident. And that is absolutely okay. Similarly, in acting situations, that gets a little foggier, a little trickier. But especially during rehearsals or learning the set, learning the stage, you should absolutely be allowed time to navigate it and to become comfortable with it. There are a lot of things you can do, like putting bump dots on the ground to mark where you maybe need to stand, using furniture, maybe using a rug on the ground to show your line of walking, where you need to walk from one point A to point B during a scene that you're acting in. You can, you know, link arms with another character if that works with the story. Maybe it's a husband and wife characters, so you can hold hands while you're walking on or off stage, things like that. There are all kinds of little tricks and techniques that I've used and a lot of other blind performers have used. So hopefully that gives you a few ideas just to spur your imagination and figure out what accommodations work best for you.
Thank you so much for that list of various accommodations. I would be remiss if I didn't mention that the National Library Service for the Blind and Print Disabled have a music section that people can actually go to get access yes. to large print and Braille music scores. So definitely check them out. Of course, you can reach out to Wolfner in order to get in connection with NLS's music section. Just another way to get those accommodations, and that could be the school can get in contact with us, the person can get in contact with us, whoever is needing those materials. NLS has that music section available for those individuals. So I just wanted to throw that one out there just to add on to the laundry list of things that Caitlin mentioned as well. Mm-hmm. So you also talked about advocacy, and we know that that's really important. And so I think to really push why it's important, if you wouldn't mind maybe giving an example of a time where you were discriminated against during a performance, which to show really why it's really important to advocate for yourself, but then also, you know, to add a positive to it, what about positive experiences too?
Yeah, absolutely. That is so important. You are right. And I have unfortunately had a few experiences that were less than ideal and I can laugh about them now. In this situation, I was much more frustrated. But I'll give an example where I was in a production of Godspell, actually, as a middle schooler. And it was a great production. It was really fun. The set theme that we had used was kind of a playground theme. So we had these different playground pieces on the stage, and the characters were sliding down a slide at different points and swinging and things like that. And so because I was on the younger end of the cast, I was in the ensemble, which was great. I had a lot of fun. And actually the director really enjoyed my voice. And so even though I was in the ensemble, she gave me a mic because she wanted me to be heard, since she thought my voice would do well to be heard. And so I thought that was great. I had my mic and I had everything memorized. We were learning different blocking situations as the chorus. We were going to get to climb on top of this playground structure and do these hand motions and kind of dance around and things like that. So I thought it was great. I had everything learned. We get to tech week and we have the set in there, and I was all excited and ready to go climb up the playground ladder on top of this playground piece to do our chorus number. And the director came over and told me that, oh, Caitlin, I'll have you stand on the stage next to the playground structure on ground level, because I don't think it's safe for you to climb up that ladder. And I was just shocked, and I didn't even comprehend what to do because I was so surprised. And as a 12-year-old, I didn't have the advocacy skills to really challenge that. And so I just kind of said, oh, okay. And probably cried about it a little because I just had no idea why she thought that way. And unfortunately, that's not the only time that's happened to me. There've been other people who just thought, oh, I don't think it's safe for you to be on this set. And I say, look, I will take full responsibility for my well-being, for my safety. It's not about whether it's safer or not. As a blind person, I'm perfectly confident and capable of navigating stages and sets, especially if I have time to learn them ahead of time, which I would. And a lot of times directors or casting agents, things like that, just might not have an open mind to that. And that's something we're working to change. So that was an unfortunate experience. I still had fun in the play. I did my motions from down next to the playground piece. I thought it looked a little odd with one random chorus member down to the side and the other six or seven of us on top. But, you know, we did that. And I still got something out of the production. But I just thought, wow, how unfortunate that the expectations were so low of me as a blind person that that person, that director didn't think that I could compete on equal terms with my sighted peers in just climbing a playground ladder, right? So that's one unfortunate experience. On the complete opposite end of the spectrum, I've had some wonderful experiences. People who are just have an open mind, who are eager to learn. They want to ask questions instead of assuming what I can and can't do. And that is wonderful. So in my master's degree at Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, one of the productions I was a part of was some scenes from Le Nozze di Figaro, which is The Marriage of Figaro by Mozart. And I was playing the Countess, which is a lovely, delightful role. And on the first day of rehearsal, I came really prepared. I had everything memorized because I like to do that so I don't have to rely on my music and things like that. And after the first rehearsal, the director approached me and just said, "Hey, I just wanted to talk with you. And I'm so excited you're part of our cast. I just want to know, you know, what I can do to help. Is there anything you need?" And I just, first of all, was so excited by her positive approach, coming not saying, you know, "How are we going to have to change everything to make it work for you?" But instead saying, "How can I, what do you need? Is there anything we need to do?" Just being really positive and open-minded. And as she started to work with me, she was pleasantly surprised in thinking, "Oh, I don't have to really change any of my choreography. Great. I can just give you a little extra time to practice walking around the stage. Maybe explain a little bit more in more verbal detail about what I want from you as far as a gesture or a movement or things like that." And we had this great working relationship because she didn't have low expectations for me. She had high expectations for me. She wanted me to do well. She wanted me to succeed. And I was able to express to her anytime I did have questions, anytime I did need more information. And it was a wonderful working relationship. So there is hope. There are people who are amazing to work with and who, you know, are willing to give a blind person a chance to compete on equality with their sighted peers. So that is a wonderful example. And I, you know, I encourage you all out there as you go into different performing arts, don't be discouraged. There will be hard situations. There will be times when you are discriminated against. And that is unfortunately part of our reality right now, but we are working to change this, and everything that you do to show the world that you are a capable person, that you are, you know, someone who is not going to let these low expectations hold you back. Every time you do that, that's one step closer to bringing more equality to our world. So, you know, just keep on keeping on, and don't be discouraged by the naysayers, but know that you can do it. Blindness does not have to hold you back from achieving your goals.
Thank you so much for kind of ending it on such a great note. I think that it's really important. And I, for those who have listened to some of my podcasts already, we kind of have this similar tone on certain ones where that's really the whole gist, is that you can do whatever you set your mind to. And there are going to be people out there that will tell you that you can't, and you just have to show them that you can. And that self-advocacy is so important. And I am definitely so grateful. Thank you, Caitlin, for talking with us today about the National Federation of the Blind's Performing Arts Division. It has definitely been a pleasure, and I always appreciate just that continuing of hearing you can do it. And I really want anybody who listens to this, it doesn't matter if you have a visual impairment, have a disability, or, you know, have other issues, you know, if there's something you're passionate about, you can do it. You know, it's just making sure that you have that self-advocacy there and knowing that, yes, there are going to be obstacles in the way, but that's just what makes things even better when you do succeed. So I, again, thank you, Caitlin, and also thank you to all of our listeners. I hope you enjoyed this podcast. If you are interested in Wolfner Library providing other podcasts like this, you can contact us at wolfner@sos.mo.gov or call us at 573-751-8720. Caitlin, I know you mentioned this before during our podcast, but if people would like to learn more or even participate in the NFB Performing Arts Division, where can they go?
Yes, thank you. Absolutely. We would love to have you check us out. You're welcome to become a member. You don't have to become a member. We still welcome you no matter where you are. And so you can find our website at nfb-pad.org. nfb-pad.org. You can become a member on there. You can look at upcoming events on there. We try to keep those fairly updated. You can contact us through there, and we'd love to have you join us. You can find us on Facebook as well, National Federation of the Blind Performing Arts Division, on Twitter, nfb_pad. And again, that email listserv you can find on our website as well is a great way to join if you are more inclined to do email. You can ask questions and hear about our events that way. So we would love to have you and welcome people from all backgrounds, all performing arts, and all across the country. Thanks so much for having me today.
Thank you. And again, thank you to everybody listening. Have a great day or night.